Welcome to the National Lewis University Discover You podcast. You know, there are around 8 billion people on Earth, with each having a different sequence of DNA that separates them from each other. But what unites them is the culture that is embedded within their DNA. My name is Keith Baltimore, and in today's episode of Discover You, we'll be joined by Maria Palafox to discuss what it means to have a culture connected to your DNA and how to deal with living in a culture that is different from yours. Maria, tell us your name and what is your role or your at NLU?
Hello. Yes. So my name is Maria Tatiana Palafox. I go by either Maria or Tatiana, which is mostly what my family calls me. And I work at National Lewis University at the Centro de Excelencia as HSI Student and Community Engagement Specialist. So I work directly with undergraduate students.
Great. So here's a great way to start off our conversation. Where are you from?
So I actually was born in León, Guanajuato, Mexico. My family and I migrated here when I was about five to Chicago. And I've been living in the south side of Chicago for 21 years of my life. And I love that you asked where I'm from because I could also consider Chicago my home, but I'm from Mexico and I'm very proud. So I always say I'm from both.
So being from Mexico, does that mean you have visited?
Yes. So I am lucky to be able to go back and visit my hometown and to be able to really embrace my culture even more.
So do you have any close members of your family who were born in the United States?
All of my immediate family was born in Mexico. All my aunts and uncles were born in Mexico. Most of my cousins were born in Mexico. So it's like the generation after me that was born here.
So do you feel closest to your Mexican identity when you are in Mexico? Or can you say that you feel it here? You still experience and feel just as much a part of Mexico when you're here in Chicago?
So growing up, it was harder to distinguish my Mexican heritage and culture because I had been here for so long and it's mostly what I knew. But as I got older and I started really embracing tradition and learning tradition through my family, through my friends, I can say that I became very proud of being Mexican and I really started to feel it within me. I think being there, it just added more to what I was embracing already. It just added this authenticity of being in my country. There's this saying that they say in Spanish that says, ni de aquí ni de allá, which means neither from there nor from here. And it's so interesting because I growing up, I did feel that way. I felt like I didn't completely belong there. And then here in the US, I also didn't feel like I completely belonged.
So you've lived here for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming the majority of your life. So do you own any aspect of American culture? Do you say, oh yes, you consider America your country or your nation?
I definitely have to say that the US has a place in my heart. It gave me opportunities that I otherwise wouldn't have received back in Mexico, and I have learned to really embrace American culture as well. I enjoy going out and hanging out with friends at baseball games and, football games and watching the Super Bowl together and now celebrating Thanksgiving, like those holidays that are so meaningful in America. I feel like I've taken that on as well and just kind of added some Mexican flavor to that. So instead of having turkey, we'll have like pozole or we'll have tamales and stuff, but it's still important holiday for us at home as well, even though we weren't, born here in the US.
How do you define culture? Or how do you express it? How do you express the culture of Mexico here?
Dancing is really big. What type of music that we listen to, like banda, you know, we listen to cumbia, we listen to salsa, and we're not afraid to, you know, get on that dance floor. And so we love partying, we love gathering with friends and family, and we'll make a celebration out of nothing. So we'll have, you know, loud music. Also food is so important to us. Just the passing on of those recipes is a big deal. So definitely food, dancing, music, partying, being family oriented. We close-knit community is what I would say we are as Latinos or as Mexicans.
Great. So now I think I have a challenging question for you. You listed all these really amazing things that show how you celebrate, how you demonstrate your culture. So can someone be a proud Mexican and not speak Spanish, not have an accent, not enjoy or be able to cook the food, the music, the dancing, you know, all of these things that, for lack of a better way of putting it, can be learned? I can learn Spanish, I can learn the food and the music and the dance and all the traditions. If I'm not participating in any of those things, and I was born in Mexico, or perhaps my parents were born in Mexico and I was born here, but more likely, say you were born in Mexico and then you've been here ever since in the United States since you were 2 years old. Can they still proudly, and are they still able to own a Mexican identity?
Yes, of course. I truly believe that that's the beauty of, you know, owning your own identity. So yeah, I'm Mexican, but yeah, maybe I don't do all of this other stuff, but I'm still proud and I'm still Mexican. If someone identifies as Mexican, they weren't born in Mexico, and they truly are proud to be Mexican, they don't need to have everything else.
So have you taken a DNA test before?
I have not, and I've been wanting to.
What have you heard about DNA test?
So I know they're expensive. And two, I know that they seem like they're pretty accurate, which really interests me, just to see, you know, where my family comes from.
So if you took a DNA test, and this has happened before, and surprisingly, the results came back to show that you were not actually Mexican, or at least not the majority. Maybe it came back and it showed that you were actually French. What if it said something to that effect? How would that change how you see yourself? Or would it?
So I would definitely still consider myself Mexican, but based on whatever I get back, whatever country, I would want to learn more about that country and try to embrace also that identity, that part of me, that identity.
So what would you say is the most important aspect of your identity? And I know this is maybe not a fair question, but in relation to our conversation about heritage, what would you say is the most important? Where does that fall when it comes to, because, you know, you've shared with us many things actually about yourself that tell us something about your identity, but how do you, what do you prioritize as being most important?
I think I'll have to say one of my most important parts of my culture is just the family oriented part, because that drives a lot of things in my life. So it drives me wanting to be a better person. It drives me wanting to be a better role model. It drives me to further my education, to make my parents proud. And so I'm extremely grateful that that's integrated into my culture, being family oriented.
Can you be very proud of your heritage and also be proud to be an American?
Yes, I believe wholeheartedly in that. I tell my friends all the time, I got the best of both worlds. I got the best of two cultures. And so I have been able to really combine both of these cultures in my life, I believe. I embrace my Mexican culture, but I also embrace the American culture. So I have my peers, like my friends around me. We all have. And it's so normal to us. You know, when I go to Mexico, my hometown, like, and I tell them the things I do here, they're like, oh, what? We don't do that here. And it's like, that reminds me, like, I got the best of both worlds. I'm truly lucky. I'm truly blessed to have been able to have this experience because it's made.
So Ahmed, we get the chance to work together in the Office of Student Engagement. Tell me your name and tell me where you're from.
Hello, my name is Ahmed Mashadani. That's the proper way of saying it. The American way of saying it is Ahmed Mashadani. I am from Baghdad, Iraq. And that was also the American way of saying it. The true way of saying it is Baghdad, Iraq. And I've been living in the United States for about 7 years now. Been here since 2016. And it's been great.
So you were born in Baghdad, Iraq. So what brought you here?
So it was not my choice to come here. It was mostly my parents, because when we came here, I was only 13 years old. So there, I didn't have that much of a choice to make. I don't know the exact reason for why we came here, to be honest, because I've been blessed with having such good parents that they tried to hide everything, like all the bad stuff that was happening around us, and try to create as safe of an environment as possible for me and my siblings. But it's definitely has to relate some way with like safety and mostly the future for me and my siblings.
So do you remember your time living in Baghdad?
Oh, definitely.
What was that like?
I mean, where should I start? I felt a lot more free and I felt a lot more alive and I felt a lot more like a human being.
So you said you felt free and alive when you were living in Baghdad. What mm-hmm. made you feel free and what made you feel alive?
Having some sort of a common aspect or something that is common that you have with everyone around you.
So tell me and those who are listening some things about Iraq that might help us to understand what it is that you love about it. So tell us, and for those who do not know, what language or languages do you speak in Iraq?
So the main language that is spoken in Iraq is Arabic. But there are many, many other languages that I will fail at listening. But, and for example, there is Assyrian. It's very popular in the north part of Iraq. And the reason why it's Arabic is because in Iraq, religion plays a big part. And the official religion of Iraq is Islam. And I'm not saying official religion as if like, that's the one that is declared by the government. It's the one that is most popular, and it's the one that drives the culture. And it's the one, basically, the reason why Arabic is the main language.
So then how would you describe the people of Iraq? What are they like in general from your impression?
Well, from my own impressions, it's going to be, well, first of all, my impression is going to be very biased because I'm sort of talking about my people.
That's so understandable. Very understandable.
I will probably be more sort of kind to them. They are definitely very polite, definitely very welcoming towards one another. There is a habit where if you're walking on a street and there is a stranger that is sort of like outside their home, sitting in their front yard or something, you sort of have to say hello to them and you sort of have to greet them and sort of like make your presence known to them. And so there is like some sort of unwritten rule that you have to follow when you meet a stranger in the street.
So, Ahmed, you are living here in the United States and you've been here since the age of 13. But you've also said that since being here, you don't feel free or alive or even comfortable. So, what is it that you have seen or experienced in the United States that makes you uncomfortable?
So the way people do things here is very different. There is a lot more people treat each other like business partners more than people, which is like they have to always put a formal voice and tone and but also there is a weird aspect where people are always so welcoming to your face. They always say hello and put a big smile on their face and sort of put a nice tone that makes you feel welcomed and everything. But then there is like a hidden truth that they hide, which is they don't really want like you or want to talk to you. That's the thing that I noticed immediately is people force their interactions with other people.
So, Ahmed, I'm wondering, as someone who's been living in the United States for a number of years now, how do you experience community or connection? Or is there anything that makes you feel at home?
I've talked to my neighbors a couple of times, but I've not had a like an actual conversation with them, or like the one I had with my neighbors when I was still living back in Iraq in Baghdad. And I really miss that because you see the way I experienced community back in Baghdad is that I knew some people in the town or in the city I was living in. And it wasn't a big town, like to begin with. And I knew a lot more people in that town than I knew in my entire time living here. So that I think that should say a lot about the community feel or that aspect of living here.
I think you're right. It does. It does. It can say a lot about what it takes to feel a sense of community. So let me ask you this, and this is a bit of a trick question, Ahmed. The community that you live in now, would you feel more comfortable at home if there were others who were from your country and spoke your language?
No, I don't think that would matter so much because the place I'm living in is still different. It doesn't matter if I have everyone in my neighborhood is from Iraq or Baghdad. I don't think that would matter to me that much because it's still, when I look out of my window, it would still look like an American neighborhood. It wouldn't look like a neighborhood from Baghdad.
Yes, I love that because it really is saying you have there's a beauty to your own country that you appreciate and that you really want to see that makes you feel at home, that makes you feel comfortable.
Oh, definitely.
So let me ask you, have you taken a DNA test before?
No, I've never thought of taking
Yeah, and as is that you think that's because you know you're pretty sure about your heritage or your background?
it. Definitely. Yeah, I'm from a place where there is an actual culture and there is an actual heritage that defines of almost everyone that lives in that country.
And do you believe, do you see yourself as being defined by that heritage?
Definitely, yeah.
So do you feel like you are not an American because American culture, the culture that you're currently living in, is not yours, and you want to, or you resonate more with your heritage from you the that you learned when you were in Iraq.
So the reason why I don't consider myself a part of the American culture is because it's very different from my foundation. You wouldn't understand how different it is unless you go to Iraq and then see the culture there and then compare it to the culture here. Because saying it in words wouldn't give it sort of the actual real meaning of it.
So, have you been challenged with trying to fit in? Is that something that's even important to you?
Yes, I struggled a lot, very, very a lot.
So, how would you, I mean, if you don't, I understand if you don't want to and you realize, oh, that's not going to happen, but how would you try to fit in? What would that even be like?
Well, I would have to adapt to the American culture more, definitely. I would have to start to celebrate Thanksgiving. I would have to start celebrate Christmas or other holidays or other major events throughout the year. Like, I will have to say it as respectfully as possible, but 4th of July doesn't mean anything to me. I do not see a point of me celebrating it, but I understand why other people do, but I will never celebrate it. So if I wanted to be American, I would maybe have to start celebrating 4th of July. I would have to start making a turkey during Thanksgiving. I would have to start putting up a Christmas tree during Christmas time.
So, Matt, I wanted to ask you about racism. Have you
Okay.
experienced any racism since being here in the United States?
Yeah.
And how would you define your race or your ethnicity?
That's a really good question because I will actually mention that in a specific incident that happened when I was here. Was during the early days of me being here. And I remember someone came to our house and tried to troubleshoot some problem with the internet. And he noticed my accent, and that person asked me where I'm from. So I was like, oh, I'm from. And when he asked that, he said, are you Middle Eastern? I genuinely didn't know what Middle Eastern meant. So I just told him, no, I'm from Iraq. And he looked at me kind of funny. I was like, oh, you're Middle Eastern. I was like, okay, sure. If that means Middle Eastern, then yeah, sure, I am. So I guess the American way of putting it is Middle Eastern.
So that, I mean, I'm kind of asking you this question with a smile underneath my tone because I've heard this many times before. I'm wondering, how do you describe yourself when you're at home in Iraq?
I call myself either from Iraq, Iraqi, or from I'm an Arab.
Got it. So Ahmed, I'm very curious. We started off this entire conversation talking about this American fascination with DNA testing and ancestry. And, you spend this money to this company to tell you and give you a chart that basically says what your heritage is going back centuries. And I'm wondering, as someone who is an obviously proud Iraqi, someone who is very connected to their home in Baghdad. If you were to take one of these tests and the results came back that you weren't actually not only not from Iraq or the Middle East, as others would say, but maybe the majority of your ancestry, your blood and DNA is based in Asia. Like in Japan. And
Okay.
to the extent that your own community, the community in Baghdad that you associate with, they would not even define you any longer as being Iraqi. So you were born in Iraq, yes, but let's say, unbeknownst to you, both of your parents were actually born in Japan.
Okay. I don't think I would do anything. Even if it said 75% of my DNA is from Scotland, let's say, I wouldn't do anything because To be honest with you, I don't know what being a Scottish person is. How is it? How is it like? What language is spoken in Scotland? What sort of culturally motivated things that is being done in Scotland? I have no idea, or I have no a any connection with Scotland.
Ahmed, why did you want to talk about heritage?
So the main reason is I mentioned it to you earlier because you've mentioned that. Have you mentioned that I work on this podcast before
No,
during
but we
this?
just did, didn't we?
Okay,
Hey,
yeah.
everybody,
So
Ahmed works on this podcast.
yeah, I'm actually the person who wrote all those questions I just answered.
And you did a
So
great job doing it.
thank you. That was basically very scripted, but my main focus is about heritage, or the reason why I wanted to talk about heritage is because I've seen a lot more people define themselves as something other than the truth. And I felt like people were trying to hide behind the truth by saying, oh, I'm not actually this. I'm actually this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. But I didn't think that was fair for people for the people who were sort of being mentioned in this conversation. Like, let's say if you're Mr. Keith, let's say you took a DNA test and it showed that you are 30% from Nigeria, 20% from Zimbabwe, and 50% from Brazil. That was completely random. But imagine if that's the result you got, and then, but you were born in America. That's the only thing you know. How can you say you are Brazilian, or how can you say you are Nigerian when you don't know anything about what a Nigerian is, what a Brazilian is, or a person from Zimbabwe is? I don't think it's fair to them. Because you're sort of giving yourself a title that you didn't earn.
Yeah, I hear you. I really hear
Yeah.
you. That
And
is that's
I don't want to sound too sort of excluding of everyone, but that's the truth. And that's the truth that everyone.
Thank you all for listening. And a big thanks to Maria for taking the time to be a guest on Discover You. We hope you'll join us for our next episode.